From your house to the White House, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
The Deal Boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Wills Ways to Save joins me. Talk a little tech this morning. You know, Matt, last week was actually the 10th anniversary of the App Store. And I'm just amazed how we use apps. It's another way just to connect, if you will, kind of like what Amazon does now with us connecting to all sorts of deals, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is one of the beautiful things as we get through what has basically become Prime Week. Keep in mind, Prime Day was Monday, mm-hmm. trickled into Tuesday, it officially ended on Wednesday. And what we're seeing now is the remnants of tech deals that are still live, still incredible, on WTAM.com right now. I've created a list of tech that everyone can benefit from. So we've done the power banks, the dash cams, the RoboVacs, the Bluetooth speakers, the neck massagers, and it comes down to five deals right now that are going to top all of the shopping lists this holiday season that you can actually score right now.
All right.
So first things first, this was huge when I did Smart Tech yesterday, still in stock right now. It's a Bluetooth smart scale.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people that we heard from sold this out. The website actually crashed twice. The reason people are so excited about this is you can actually set goals, monitor your health a little bit better, see what's going on rather than just waiting for a doctor to tell you. So that was a very popular tech deal where it's not just another iPhone cable. There you go. In the number four spot, Q Charger. This is something you can actually use for your car. So if you use your smartphone as a GPS unit, this is a holder that will actually safely wirelessly charge your phone while it's in use in hands-free mode.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Number three, a lot of people still buying out laptops. Found one of the top ones on the market, Windows 10 Intel processor, down from about $600 to $389 or $390.
Wow, okay.
In the number two spot, a 4K action cam. These sold out during the holiday season, but keep in mind, when it's winter, not as many people are documenting those beautiful outdoor memories. This is summertime. Capture it now. This deal, absolutely insane at half price. And the number one deal on the tech list from the week.
That's my drum
Thank
roll.
Thank you, Bill.
That was a non-tech drum roll. Go ahead.
It was perfect. This is actually your favorite deal of the week. Power wireless life-proof streaming headphones down from $60 to $24.99.
Wow. Matt Granite, the top tech. I love it. What a week he has had for us in New York. I thank you for all the time. By the way, our mutual friend, my buddy John Anderson over at Channel 3, he and I want to buy you lunch. So you give John the bill, and I'll settle up with him at some point. But we just thank you for all the work you have done this week, Matt, really.
Oh, that's awesome. You made it worthwhile. Our listeners made it worthwhile. And thank you for bringing any type of weight to what I do. So thank you.
Matt Granite, the Deal Boss. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here Monday with more. WTAM.com, keyword deals. You can see what he's talking about. Follow him on Twitter, too. Safe travels. Have a great weekend, pal.
Awesome.
Sports mornings, 15 to 45 past. In for Mike Snyder, Mark Munch Bishop.
Well, it was a great day yesterday. Bill, I had listeners and fans calling me crying for joy, laughing, screaming, yelling, telling me it was like coming downstairs on Christmas and seeing your bicycle. Oh, yeah, there is Indians fever in town. And Chris Antonetti was talking about, hey, this just is not for this year. And he looks at a future always with making a deal.
Well, we feel we've improved our team. It came at a considerable cost in trading Francisco Mejia, but we felt it was a deal that made sense for us because it not only impacts our team for this season, but for multiple years to come.
In the deal, Brad Hand and Adam Simber come to the Indians. Hand, the big left-hander. Simber coming from underhand reminds me of Dan Quisenberry, one of the Royals legends. And we had a submariner years ago by the name of Ted Abernathy. Of course, the Indians back in action tonight in Texas. It'll be Trevor Bauer on the hill against Martin Perez. 8:05 first pitch. You'll hear it right here on WTAM 1100. Indians could still be looking for an outfield bat. Remains to be seen. Talking about trade wins. Rumors have Kyle Korver going to Philadelphia for guard Jared Bayless. We'll keep you posted on that one. British Open, a little bit of rain at Carnoustie, but just going to make it, put it this way, they would need buckets of rain. They would need a monsoon for things to get happening there. And one more basketball note, Carmelo Anthony. What? Going to Atlanta? They'll waive him? He may end up with the Rockets. With sports from the home of the Indians and Cavaliers, nowhere else, friend. WTAM 1100. I'm Mark Munchbishop.
Putin coming to D.C.? Maybe. We'll get to that story in a minute. I want to follow up with Bill Zimfer this morning on North Korea, though, after this summit. Big, big stage a few weeks ago. You're kind of following up on if indeed they've followed up this morning, Bill?
Yeah, you know, first of all, Bill, it was June 12th that the summit took place 5 weeks ago. It seems like it was 5 months ago with everything else that has happened in between here. So you look back and say, what exactly has happened since then? Well, there were, of course, a number of agreements, general agreements that President Trump and Kim Jong-un made during that. Mike Pompeo was made a return visit to North Korea, at which time the North responded by saying the United States had a gangster-like attitude. North Korea has yet to show any signs of denuclearization. In fact, there are signs they are doing the opposite. Reports that they are improving some of their weapons facilities and nuclear facilities. North Korea has yet to return any remains of U.S. servicemen. That could happen sometime in the near future, but supposedly North Korea is using that as leverage as well. They could be asking for some type of peace treaty be announced before then. Next week, by the way, is the anniversary of the armistice on the Korean Peninsula, or they could be asking for the withdrawal of U.S. troops in return for that. And this is interesting as well, Bill. North Korea reportedly doesn't do anything without getting paid. They are expected to present the United States with some exorbitant, what they call expenses, in exchange for returning these remains to the tune of millions of dollars. In fact, if you remember when reporters were invited to North Korea to witness that demolition of the nuclear test site, or supposed demolition of the nuclear test site, they invited reporters to witness it, gave them a lavish buffet, and then charged them $50 a head.
How dare you charge reporters?
I know.
So it could be short-term, little rocket man, as he was referred to. I mean, look, he got what he wanted. He got on the world stage, right?
Yeah, he sure did. And it remains to be seen what will happen. And now even the president is saying, hey, we really have no time limit on this. We're not putting a speed limit on it. So he is acknowledging that things are not going to happen very quickly when after the summit, he said that things would happen quickly. Don't look for that to go. And there are also disturbing reports that China has begun to increase shipments of supplies and oil to North Korea.
Bill Zimfer following up on North Korea and the summit this morning. Bill, thanks. Have a good weekend. Too, by the way.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Of course, the way Trump works, he could invite North Korean's leader to the White House and not tell anybody. It seems like our national security intelligence guy, Dan Coats, surprised yesterday by Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, the report that Putin might be on his way to Washington.
We have some breaking news. The White House has announced on Twitter that Vladimir Putin is coming to the White House in the fall.
Say that again?
What? Huh?
Vladimir Putin coming
to the... Did I hear you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be special.
So he didn't know. And Andrea Mitchell kind of surprised him with that announcement. I want to bring in ABC News crime terrorism analyst Brad Garrett. It was a week ago where the indictments were handed down, indictments on these 12 Russians that supposedly did the hacking. You know, they worked down the street from the Kremlin. What have you picked up on? I mean, it's been a week. They're never going to come to this country for a trial or anything. What have you picked up on that story? Because that's really been heading this whole thing for the last week or so, Brad.
Well, this is actually a big deal, Bill, because it's tangible evidence of the Russians involved in attempting to influence the election. Specifically, you have Russian GRU officers that have created false identities, fake news sites, you name it, to create disinformation and dissension at a number of levels. And so what the point is, they're trying to get a message out, and it's two things. One, about certain people that we should vote for, misinformation on other people, and also to divide us, to create emotional dissension between us instead of being, can you and I disagree? Of course we can, but we should be able to talk about it instead of just being mad and that your idea and mine can never go together, that it's us against them. And that's what they've been actually, I think, fairly good at doing.
Rosenstein, the number two at the department that announced this last Friday, didn't he say that there was no, or at least no evidence of hacking a machine like changing a vote count? All we're talking about, but it's still important, obviously, to recognize, is trying to influence voters, media, that sort of thing.
Right. And obviously, Bill, that's hard to measure.
Right.
How much disinformation sent to you for 3 weeks about a particular topic then has an effect on how you vote. or how you think about a particular candidate. So, yeah, and the Russians know that. They know you really can't measure that, but they know that it can work. And they have spent a lot of money and a lot of manpower to try to make this happen, and they're continuing to do it.
Brad Garrett on the indictments that were handed down last Friday. Fascinating. And more play out, of course, as the day goes on. Updates top and bottom of the hour, and Rush Limbaugh's take on all of it. The Rush Limbaugh Show follows the news at noon today. WTAM 1100. Let's talk some food and maybe work in a little beer. Our buddy Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, visits with us every week. He's always posting on Twitter following MBona30. Great stories, reviews, things at Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
Great. You've got a wonderful series every week adding to it, and you can go to Cleveland.com and do some research depending on the part of town or what you want in a brunch. Just visiting different spots. And Burnwood Tavern, I have been there for lunch a couple of times. Take me there for a brunch. What'd you find?
Yeah, this was fun. And as you said, we've been continuing the series. It's been great because it's basically a blank slate, a blank canvas to go to for breakfast and brunch. We've gone to down-home little diners in the middle of nowhere. We've gone to high-end restaurants. And we recently hit Burntwood Tavern. I don't mind the fact that it's a chain because it's local.
Sure.
They have, nine places just in Northeast Ohio. And I really like it. And, of course, you know, they're famous for their copper-topped bar and the rustic look. But for brunch, oh my, I have to admit, even though I'm not a drinker at brunch, I'm not a Bloody Mary fan, mm-hmm. The Bloody Mary bar there is basically a smorgasbord. This was incredible. I've seen buffets that have less food. It's a meal in a glass. I was just blown away by it. I mean, from bacon to olives to multiple types of cheese and everything. People were just going up and filling up their glasses. It was, like I said, a whole smorgasbord. I thought that was a kind of a neat thing that they do. But I really liked the dishes. Not a huge brunch menu in terms of traditional things,
yeah.
But they had some very well-chosen items. Really was blown away by the Nashville chicken biscuit.
Ooh.
This had every savory flavor going on, sweet, spicy, definitely hot, just a little bit, just the right amount of hot sauce, cheese, sausage gravy, a chicken topped with egg. I mean, it sounds like a mess, but my gosh, it was delicious. Really enjoyed that. I think they're doing a decent job. And, you know, brunch has been a big thing with them, and it's been a big thing with us. I always I list all the places every week, kind of a cumulative list of where we've gone. I always ask people, hey, if you have something in mind, let me know. People send me suggestions every week. I'm always open to that. But we're having a lot of fun with this. I mean, brunch, we've really struck a chord with this because brunch is a very big thing in Northeast Ohio.
Got time, want to be out and enjoy, especially summertime. Burntwood Tavern, a location near you, Mark's review, MBona 30. Look it up at the at Cleveland.com as he takes us to Burntwood Tavern. I'm not a Nutella guy, but I might try Nutella stuffed French toast, you know?
That sounded good to me, too. And that's funny. I'm not a huge chocolate guy either. I remember being in Italy on my honeymoon years ago, and Nutella is served the way we serve butter on a table here for breakfast. I was blown away by how often I saw that.
Brunch at Burntwood. Check it out at Cleveland.com. Mark Bona's review. Okay, we got some brewery news and some recognition at the U.S. Beer Open Championship. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love doing stories as we've talked. You and I have talked now for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But anytime there's a national competition, I'm always curious to see how Northeast Ohio does. And we're now at the really it's kind of proving the point that I used to say, well, these brewers who win are putting Northeast Ohio on the map. Now I think we're partially owning the map because of how they're doing. They consistently, it's always a handful of breweries. And they're different. They could be the same ones. They could be different. Always doing really, really well on a national level. I think that's just great. Great Lakes, Hansa, Platform, and Sibling Revelry Brewery all won awards. Four breweries winning 6 awards. I think that's a fantastic thing. Platform won a couple of awards at this. Hansa won a couple. I just think it's great that they're doing this. This was held in Oxford, Ohio.
Nice promotion, some good recognition, too. The brewery awards with the six medals at the U.S. Open Beer Championships. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Looking for something different to drink or something different to go to when it comes to a meal. He's the guy. Follow him on Twitter, mbona30. Mark, thanks much.
Thank you, Bill.
Movies for the weekend. Got some new ones, some remakes, some extensions of the franchises. Our buddy Kevin Carr is at fatguysthemovies.com. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good, buddy. Let's first go back and see Mamma Mia. Here we go again. What's it been, 10 years since the first one?
Yeah, it has been 10 years. You don't think it's that long, but it has been. It came out the same summer that The Dark Knight did. And now they've got a chance to make a new version of the movie. They have a sequel, a somewhat unnecessary sequel, in my opinion, where you've got the Seyfried's character is opening a hotel in Greece for her mother, who has passed away. Meryl Streep's character has passed away since the last movie. And while they're trying to open the hotel, they flash back to what her life was when she was younger, and Meryl Streep's younger version is played by Lily James. Now, ultimately, this is a movie that is just made completely and entirely for the fans that are trying to recreate sort of the lightning in the bottle from the first Mamma Mia. It uses the ABBA songs, but, you know, a lot of them are B-side hits. They're not exactly the – and when they are the ones you recognize, you realize they did them in the first movie already. So, you know, in terms of originality and necessity for the movie, not much is there. Not a whole lot of plot, actually, either. And the cast of the younger people aren't as good. But ultimately, I think for the fans of this, of which I'll admit I'm not one of, for the fans of the Mamma Mia movie, I think that it's going to, you know, push the same buttons that it did in the first one.
It was huge on Broadway, and I think you're right. When it hit the theaters, it was surprising maybe how successful it was. I mean, I enjoyed it, had fun, so I was kind of looking forward to go back and see it again. But as you're telling me, then they're going to go back and kind of reset how it all developed then when they were kids.
It just sort of tells the I use the term story loosely because there's not a real plot to it. It's just sort of like a flashback to the whole thing. And it just kind of tells how she met the three guys that she didn't know who was the father of her daughter in the first place.
Right.
But like I said, I mean, it very much feels like an extension of the first film. But just like I said, it doesn't seem like it was necessary.
Mamma Mia 2. Equalizer 2 is out. Kevin Carr, fatguysthemovies.com. That's the Denzel Washington movie, right?
Yeah, it's originally based on the TV series from the 80s. And they did, of course, Equalizer, directed by Antoine Foucault back in, I think, 2014. And it's about a guy who is essentially like Liam Neeson's character from Taken, where he's a former guy who worked in the military, and he sort of has a very mild-mannered job now. And he goes around as basically a vigilante trying to right wrongs for people. And then he goes on the warpath going after people who killed a friend of his. Now, it's not a lickety-split action movie. It actually is more of a slow burn. Which I think is kind of a bold choice. Now, I like the director a lot, but it does have those moments where he does go get revenge on the bad guys. It's not as strong as the first film, but I think it still puts Denzel Washington in a formidable position.
Equalizer 2. Kevin Carr at fatguysthemovies.com. Another one out this weekend, Unfriended 2. When I first read the setup for this, I was almost reminded of what was it, almost 20 years ago, Whoopi Goldberg did Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Oh, gosh.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's going way in the back. Yeah. One of those movies where people get sort of cyber-stalked, I guess you can say. Of course, Jumpin' Jack Flash was a very different time from a computer standpoint.
Right.
I mean, this one, it's kind of like a found footage movie, only the difference is it all's basically taking place on one computer screen, and you have access to that. It's about a guy who uses a stolen laptop to sort of connect with his friends, and then they realize that there's illegal stuff on the laptop, and they may be being stalked by the hackers who had the laptop in the first place, very dangerous position. Now, the first Unfriended kind of had it was a little more supernatural, where this something was haunting these people in this Skype chat, basically. And they've done this sort of gimmick before. I mean, it's effectively done, does sort of push the bounds of believability as some horror movies do. So it's not as strong as it could be, but I'll tell you, for found footage movies, it's a unique take on the genre.
Kevin Carr, FatGuysTheMovies.com. Check his site out before you get out and check out a flick, FatGuysTheMovies.com. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Talk a little more about the British Open munch as we speak. I've got our golf guy, Don Pageant, executive director of the Bridgestone Invitational with us. A lot of these players will be here in a couple of weeks. Hi, Don.
Morning, Bill.
Weather, guys. Yeah, munch. We had some rain overnight. I'm not sure if you can soften up these fairways any, Don, because that ball was bouncing and rolling around yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was bouncing everywhere. You had to think about where the ball was going to land, but also where it was going to end up. But they've had some rain overnight. Softened it up a little bit, but what it's made really tough is that rough. You knock it in that rough, it's nasty. Tiger's had a roller coaster round starting out so far. Bogeys on 2 and 3, but came back strong with birdies on 4 and 5. So I know we're all rooting for Tiger. If he gets top 7 or better, he'll qualify for the Bridgestone Invitational here in a couple weeks.
Don, yesterday we talked about the roughs. We talked about accuracy. But at least when it was dry, they're thin and a little wispy. Today, I'm noticing more golfers than ever hitting into the rough. That accuracy is coming into play.
Well, no question. And the wind is up a little bit. The rain is out there as well. So there's elements that's going to make the ball curve in the air. But then once you get in that rough, that moisture makes it a lot more tough, has a lot more teeth to it. So fairways even more going to be at a premium today. I think the weather is just going to get worse as the day goes on. So the guys that play early, they're looking to post a score. And the guys that play late, they're just going to try to hang on.
Early on a Friday for round two, Don Pageant, let me throw a couple names at you. On the leaderboard right now, as Munch says, Rory's at minus five. Kevin Kisner been around at minus five as well. Tommy Fleetwood, minus four. Boy, in the majors, he's always there. And Zach Johnson, I mean, he's got a Masters code. He's at minus four this morning.
Yeah, it's great to see Zach play well. Two-time major champion, of course, won the Open Championship at St. Andrews and the Masters earlier in his career. He's right on the edge of our Bridgestone Invitational field. I believe he's 51st or 2nd, so it's great to see Zach back at Firestone. Tommy Fleetwood's had a great career in Europe, starting to play well here in the States, contended at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. I think he'll be a factor as well.
Bridgestone Invitational, I can get a ticket, can't I?
You can, BridgestoneInvitational.com. 18 and under is free, so bring the kids out. We got a great kids landing area with putt-putt, face painting, kids-only autograph area where they can get up close and personal with the pros. So only major sporting event I know you can bring kids out for free. So come out and enjoy it with the family, BridgestoneInvitational.com.
Great memory. My son, Nate, and I on the 16th tee, and before Tiger hits that stinger, we were right up on the tee box. He's within a few feet of Tiger Woods, and to this day, I see his eyes. They're just so wide. You know, Don, golf is really amazing how close you can get, right?
You know, we have 18 holes of rope line that you can get a front row seat, so it's a very fan-friendly course. It's compact. You can get across multiple holes in only a matter of minutes. And the only way you can really appreciate how good these guys are is to come out and see them in person. When you do, you also support a lot of great charities as well. So it's a great event, support a lot of great causes, and encourage everybody to come out and support us. It's right around the corner, less than 2 weeks away.
Charity, the big winner. Don Pageant, Executive Director of the Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone. Thanks, partner.
Thanks, Bill.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, with us on Fridays talking sports. Let's get right to it, baseball and the trade. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wells.
And as you point out in your column, and it's why you're one of the best writers, let's reverse this. Suppose you knew they had the chance to do the trade and they didn't, and how upset you might be. That pretty much shows you what a good deal this thing was, right?
I believe so, and I think sometimes I do that, you know, kind of play the opposite way. And probably if you're in San Diego, you'd feel the same way. You're looking at your team's really no good, and you've got a chance to get one of the top prospects, and you just got to give up some relief pitchers. You'll do that in a heartbeat, too. That's why it was a nice trade, you know, the old thing for both teams, because it made a lot of sense for both because they're in totally different spots.
Terry, we talk about the Indians needing two relievers. Well, they got them. So right now they've also talked about, quote-unquote, the proverbial outfielder bat. Do you still see them making one more deal?
They'll probably try, but I don't know if they're going to let's put it this way. I don't think they want to trade any more significant prospects.
Right.
I mean, you can't. You have to watch that and be careful because you're going to see within the next year or two whether it's Clint Frazier or Mejia or Justice Sheffield, some of these guys they gave up. are going to pop up in the big leagues, be impact players, just like a number of years ago when the Indians traded those pitchers, and here comes Michael Brantley. He makes the All-Star team. You know, how about that? That was the free half-year rental for C.C. Sabathia, or Carlos Carrasco. That was for Cliff Lee. You know, and those are kind of bigger prospects. So you have to be careful on what you do. But I will say this. Chris Antonetti has not been timid, really, since he took over the team about 7 years ago.
Terry, something else we look at is that, and I love what they're saying, is that, yeah, it's going to help immediately. There is no doubt going to help in the future, too. Mm-hmm. How important was that? Was that the one when they said, we've got to go out and do this?
Well, you don't give up Mejia for a guy for just half a year.
Right.
Unless you want to lose your job. and that was a big thing. And then you have to hope that Hand stays healthy because he's the primary guy in his trade. And that he continues to do well, because relievers are crazy. You know, 2015, Hand had a 5.5 ERA, ends up thrown on waivers by the Florida Marlins. San Diego claims him, kind of an interesting left-hander, and he turns into an All-Star 2 years later. Now, will he continue to pitch at the San Diego level? Probably. I mean, he's got, a 2.5 ERA since the start of the 16 season. But, you know, those guys are more volatile than position players. So there's always the risk there.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. This also, if I got this right, looks like Miller and Allen could well, you know, not be with us next season. So we got these two guys as well to fill those roles, right?
Well, you at least have to start to fill in some of those roles. I don't think Simber, right. You know, sort of a, at this moment, a poor man's Joe Smith.
Yeah.
To say he's going to move up real high there. But that kid, and he's only 27, in terms of his major league career, he's a rookie. There was a reason it took a little longer for him to get up. His stats against lefties aren't real good at all, but he's very good against righties, and that could help. You start building for the future now, but he'd rather go into next year with those two guys and say, then I got some other to look for, as opposed to, I mean, I was trying to think, guys, maybe you could help me. Who is the last significant Indian who reached his, you know, basically free agent year that they re-signed after the season? I couldn't come up with a name.
Well, good question. Good question. Total Tribe coverage every Friday, no matter where he is. Andre Knott checks in, Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio. You'll see him from the dugout tonight on the broadcast on TV. Andre's report brought to you by AAA Advanced Plumbing. Morning, pal.
Good morning. How you doing today, Phil?
All right. Munch alongside. Let's get right to it. Tribe gets Brad Hand, and he's a lefty, and then the right-hander, Adam Simber. We send Mejia. What's your take?
Not surprised, but I think it's a great move by the Indians, and I think it's very much – it's great for 2018, but I think going forward, probably good till about 2020, 21, and I think that's the big thing that comes out of all of this. The Indians find a way to make themselves better in 2018, but also better going forward.
Dre, we knew for a while, and Chris Antonetti said it, heck, Tito said it, that the bullpen has to be fixed, and they will fix it. This is a tough one, though, but was losing the 4-0 lead to Cincy, was that the backbreaker, man?
No, I don't know. I don't think that has anything to do with it, to be completely honest.
Okay.
I think this is coming no matter what. I don't think this is one game that makes a move like this come about. As you said, it was pretty obvious to anyone that the bullpen has been an issue. But I said this to a Triv, and I'll say it again. I think the Indians did what any good business does. They tried to fix the Brian Shaw leaving and the injury to Miller from within to see if they had people from within that could do it. I think they realized in the first half of the season they don't, so they found guys that can.
Will there be another move with this team? You've heard the quote-unquote outfield slash bat, but it's got to be somebody that can play defense out there too, doesn't it?
I think you need the right person, right place. I think there absolutely is going to be another move, and I think they're going to try to make a move up until the deadline. And we've seen over the last few years, even if they don't get something done by the 31st, you could see something happen before August 30th or 31st. They need somebody else. You need another bat to extend this lineup a little bit more. And I'm sure there's a player. I'm sure there's a match out there. And I think the one thing I'll say about this, and I kind of said this to Bill, once the Machado thing happened, you kind of thought things would go quickly. So I give the Indians credit to go ahead and get the best reliever out there, and I think you're going to see some other moves over this weekend. And hopefully the Indians can make a quiet move before it's all said and done for another bat as well.
I like the deal. Let me ask you about Mejia, though. You and I, you know, spring training, he was one of those names that was always talked about. He got up here a couple times. The last time, though, there was some kind of noise through the interpreter, not Trump this time, but through the interpreter with whatever was being talked about him going to the outfield. Now, my takeaway was he wanted to stay behind the plate, and we don't necessarily need that.
Well, I think you bring up the best point, because I don't think a lot of people have the story fully. Some things get lost in translation through different people. From everything I know, the kid was a good worker. He worked hard. He wasn't comfortable in the outfield. That was the one thing he told me a couple months ago when we were in Detroit. He just wasn't comfortable and wasn't ready to play the outfield yet. But like you said, he wanted to be a catcher. He's grown up as a catcher. He's comfortable there. That's been his best position. And I think, to be honest, I think a lot was thrown at a young kid. And just because we've seen Jose Ramirez do it and we've seen others do it, something he wasn't comfortable with doing. And I think maybe that rubbed some the wrong way. Maybe it didn't. But in talking to him personally, I know he was just never comfortable being an outfielder at this point in time.
Dre, I'm getting your chin music today, and it's too early for you. But can we see Brad Hand perhaps closing some games this year?
I won't go that far yet. I think this is going to be very reminiscent of what they did 2 years ago with Adam Miller. Maybe, but I think that you'll probably see how things have gone in the past. I just don't see the Indians upsetting the apple cart just because they picked up one guy. They didn't do it with Andrew Miller. Why would they do it with this guy? I guess is what I would ask.
How about Miller? Is it day by day? Are we going to get him back? What's the latest?
Yeah, he's probably still a couple weeks away. He threw last night down in Columbus. First batter that he faced gave up a home run, but after that, looked like Andrew Miller. They're going to push him again over the next few days. And from everything we've heard, so far, so good. Because he did get a couple strikeouts once he gave up the home run last night. So he's slowly but surely. Hopefully you have him back as well.
By the way, beautiful picture on Instagram of you and the kids.
Thank you very much. I'm truly blessed, as you and I talk about all the time. I've outkicked my coverage.
Well, the kids were pretty, but what kind of ice cream was that?
Oh, man. It was. I think I had the peanut butter cup, and they had the Blue Moon, which they were in love with.
That's fun. Good stuff. Andre Knott, Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio, on from the dugout tonight on the broadcast. 8:15 first pitch, Tribe Rangers, and we got Bauer on the mound. Andre, I appreciate it more than you'll ever know. Have a great day.
Take care, boys. It's good talking to you guys.
The TAM 1100, part of the iHeart Radio family, and iHeart on the beat of our town.
And now, 5 good minutes.
And how we get around town, a lot of us, thousands daily, use the RTA. Joe Calabrese heads up the RTA. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Bill.
Thanks for the time. Let me ask you first, great promotion, I think, this summer you did with Kids Riding Free. How did it go over?
Yeah, we did. We started this last year for the first time. It went over very well. We carried about 40,000 children last year over the summer months to get them out to see all the great things Cleveland has to offer. That was the purpose of this, to make it more affordable. You know, we need to be great ambassadors for Cleveland, but many of our residents haven't really seen the great things in Cleveland, the museums, the parks, and we thought this was a way to get them out affordably over the summer, give the parents a little break. Last year, we carried about 40,000 children over the summer. This year, we're halfway through the program and already have broken the 40,000 mark. So we're seeing double increases. It's just a great way to get people around over the summer. And again, to see the great things we have to offer, to make Clevelanders the best ambassadors in the world, that will help us in the tourism ranks, you know, down the road.
Joe, well said. You know, it's a great reminder. We're so busy. We enjoy, maybe traveling. But there are so many things around our town. Take an afternoon. Take a day. Do a little staycation, as we say. And, you know, when's the last time you're on the Nautica Queen? When's the last time you're at the Rock Hall or the great museums, right?
Bill, early on in my career here, you know, I went to the Art Museum, and just as we know, a wonderful place. And I decided to have an RTA function at the Art Museum. And a lot of our employees came. We have, you know, well over 2,000 employees. But many of those that came had never been to the Art Museum before. It just amazed me. So, again, we need to get out and see all the great things. You know, when my wife and I moved here, we knew nothing. So we really took it upon ourselves to visit all these great things we have to offer. So we're trying to open that up to more people.
Joe, you and I have known each other a long time. The business model for the RTA, I think you've adjusted. You've expanded. I mean, the health line's a great example. People around the country come and see what we did there. But just in the culture of how we get around, Uber and Lyft has really become a way of life for many. Is that competition for the RTA?
Well, you know, It is and it isn't. I'm hoping it's better a compliment than competition. I think the more creative transit systems around the country, and hopefully we're one of them, Bill, are trying to migrate from being a transportation provider to be a mobility manager. RTA can't be everywhere. No transit system can, but how to get people to and from RTA, and Uber and Lyft are wonderful options to do that. We ran a promotion with Lyft on July 4th. It'll take Lyft to one of our rail stations to come downtown to see the fireworks. And again, significant discounts offered by Lyft to do that. So things like this, I think, are the wave of the future. And not just Uber and Lyft, but bike share and car share. And the new thing is scooter share. How do we connect where RTA is and where they can go in terms of population density to some of the great suburbs in our communities?
Joe Calabrese, the RTA, for another minute. I want to ask you about the ADA as well. I think you were in Washington talking about this some recently. There have been a couple different promotions and programs on paratransit. Where are we at on that?
Well, we are, and again, we're trying to be creative there as well. We kicked off a pilot program again with Lyft over the summer. Started, I think, in April. Bill, our paratransit service is so critical for people with disabilities. These are individuals who can't use RTA because of a physical or cognitive disability. It's a very expensive but worthwhile clientele to serve. Our average cost to serve a paratransit client is $40 per trip. Through our pilot program with Lyft, our average cost has gone down from $40 for those participating to $8.57. So if we can migrate half of our paratransit customers, half of them, to an Uber or Lyft model, we could save $9 million a year. So again, I think that's the future. To get people from point A to point B doesn't mean they've got to be on a vehicle that says RTA on the side of it. How do we help them manage that mobility to best serve their needs? And obviously, if I can go from $40 to $8, I can serve five times more people. Just think about that.
Well said. Joe Calabrese, RTA, iHeart on the beat of Cleveland, talking about getting around town with the RTA. Joe, I appreciate it. Thanks much. Have a good weekend.
You all, my friend. Thanks.
St. Louis in to talk more Tribe for Falls Motor City. Jensen, I want to start with picking up what you were talking on Twitter a little bit about this and what Andre was kind of pointing out. You know, long-term to me in baseball is next season. So this helps us this year and also maybe as well with pitching next year, right?
Yeah, Bill, and to understand what the economics are going to be in the closing and relief markets this offseason, I mean, you have the likes of probably Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, Craig Kimbrell, a lot of elite relievers that are going to be available. And if last year was any indication of how expensive those guys are on an average annual value, there's no way the Indians are going to be able to afford both of them, let alone one of Andrew Miller or Cody Allen. So what you do with this trade is you guard against both those guys walking, and let's say worst-case scenario, they both are not in an Indians uniform. You have your closer of the future in the next couple of seasons in Brad Hand, and you've got two guys as far as Neil Ramirez and Adam Simber go that could probably team up to be your setup guys. You'll kind of reevaluate what the market will give you as far as affordability. But I think what they do in giving up one guy, you only have to give up one guy to get two relievers that you'll have control of for 3.5 and 5.5 years respectively. This was a no-brainer and I think a win-win for both sides.
Jensen, there's no doubt that this is one of those cases where the Indians talked the talk, walked the walk. They said they had to fix the bullpen and they went out and did it. You know, frankly, that gives me goosebumps about this team.
Yeah, Munch, I think the last 3 years, this front office has said, we'll pull the trigger to make a big-time deal and tell our ball club year in and year out, we believe in you, we believe in what you guys are capable of. And to know how postseason bullpens are run, I mean, look no further than what Terry did 2 years ago with Andrew Miller coming in the fifth inning at Fenway Park. You now have three closers on this team with Hand, Miller, and Allen, and it really gives me a reminder of going back to, you know, 2014, 2015, when you saw the Kansas City Royals blueprint to get to back-to-back World Series, when you have Kelvin Herrera, Wade Davis, Greg Holland, that was their MO. Make it a six-inning game and be able to hand it off to a dominant bullpen. Well, it just so happens the Indians' rotation is arguably more dominant than any in the American League. I don't think anyone's lining up now to say, yeah, we want to play the Indians in the first round with how they've bolstered this back into the bullpen.
Jensen, you look at the different arms we have now. Of course, Hand, the big slider, he'll strike you out. Simber comes in from that sidearm. We know what Cody Allen does. This is exciting because the matchups are going to be a nightmare for other teams.
And I think Simber gives a real good change of pace. I think when people see him, they'll think back to Joe Smith, a guy that was a sidearm submarine type. Yeah, he's not going to blister you with 95-mile-an-hour fastballs, but he's certainly going to give you a different outlook and a different release point that can mess with some hitters. And you got to think with Brad Hand now, and this statistic is still mind-boggling to me. He is the third hardest guy as far as pitchers go, both starters and relievers combined in the last 3 or 4 years. Third hardest pitcher to get a hit off of. The guy who leads that category is Max Scherzer. So to have that in perspective and know you've got that kind of arm to deploy in October, I think Tito has a bevy of options to be able to win a bunch of those postseason games.
Let me get you out of here on this. A lot of people still think they need a bat, but by trading Mejia, do we have anything else to offer? Is everything else protected, you think?
Oh, certainly. They've got a bunch in the minor leagues, and that's where these guys have a ton of depth to be able to still deal. You might see last year, Bill, where the Indians took on Jay Bruce's salary, you could see that possibly with Adam Jones. He's owed about $7 million the last 2 months. They may say, Baltimore, we'll take on 5 of the 7, but you can't have any of our top guys. Might be able to get away with maybe a mid-level guy or two.
Jensen Lewis, Fox, you guys working tonight?
Yeah, we'll be there 7:30 tonight and tomorrow. Got a 2:30 pregame on Sunday. Bill, give me John Rahm to win the Open.
I was going to ask you. John Rahm, you've been pretty much right on all year. All right, partner, have a great weekend.
Thanks, you guys too.
Thanks.